Kaya Biz with Gugulethu Mfuphi on Kaya 959.
Well, we shift our focus to a very important conversation, especially in light of the pandemic that we're in. We're well aware that globally, efforts to fully vaccinate populations have been underway to ensure that we do reach a stage of a majority of the population having a sense of effectiveness against this particular virus. But to help us unpack some of the misnomers and the disinformation that many of us have been receiving, we join on the line now by Dr. Katlego Mothodi, who is the MD of the Board of Healthcare Funders, to help us unpack more about how we can address this disinformation by providing the right information around the current vaccination process in South Africa. Dr. Mothodi, thank you so much for your time this evening, sir.
Good evening, Kuku. Thanks for having us.
Thank you. I guess first things first, the nuances around anti-vaxxers isn't a narrative that is unique to the South African environment, right? It's a global trend, global phenomena. Should we be surprised by it? Have we often seen that there are communities who try to be resistant against any kind of medical interventions to healthcare concerns?
No, definitely. The attitude towards treatment or even any new diseases is not new. And not far back, I think 20-something odd years, we were dealing with misinformation around HIV/AIDS. And over time, we have dealt with various other types of misinformation on many diseases. And if you remember around HIV/AIDS, the same questions were being answered. Mm-hmm. Where does it come from? Is it from a lab? When the drugs became available, there was skepticism around where they would work and what would happen if you've been on them for 20 years. Would you have enough data, etc.? So the sentiment around resistance to any new intervention is not new.
Certainly not new, but I guess this time around with the pandemic, it raises further concerns, right? Because as we've witnessed with COVID-19, it is a virus that attacks anyone, really. So help us how we should be addressing the amount of disinformation in the market.
Yeah, I think first we need to listen. Even if we're saying that people are voicing sometimes irrational concerns, we have to listen because somewhere in there lie maybe the true messages. We must accept that maybe there'll be a percentage that would never be convinced. But truly, some would ask around, would ask questions around issues of safety, and we need to then tell them the right messages around how vaccine work, etc. They will ask about how they are made, etc. We need to listen and say these are the processes, etc. And there are those who will be concerned about the specific stages of their lives. For example, I'm pregnant, can I take it? It is a valid concern.
Yes.
And then we also deal with people with phobias. There are people who've got genuine phobias of needles, for example, who are terrified. Whether you're giving them a painkiller, not just a vaccine, they would be terrified. So we should not discard any of the fears and wrap them all up into the unreasonable basket, but make sure that we are able to answer most of these concerns.
And maybe let's address some of those concerns. I guess the top three questions top of mind for everyone is, number one, is the vaccine safe for pregnant women or individuals with fertility issues, or even for men and women who might have underlying health concerns?
I think the good and bad thing about COVID is that it spreads very quickly and has affected a number of, like a lot of people. That's the bad part. The good aspect is that it has made it possible for us to have access to a large data set.
Yes.
And that's what you need scientifically to make decisions. So there's quite a number of studies that are coming all over the world that are proving that they are safe. And remember that even before these vaccines are introduced, they undergo clinical trials. And before any regulatory body, whether you're talking about the FDA or the Europeans or even SAHPRA, they would never introduce a drug that is harmful to the population. We must accept, though, that any chemical will have what we call adverse effects or side effects. Even your common pain tablet, paracetamol, there are people who might have a reaction because we are not built the same way. We have an immune system. In some people, it might be overactive and recognizing anything and everything as foreign. Even sometimes our own chemicals that we produce, and there are people who have what we call autoimmune disorders, where the body actually recognizes its own proteins as abnormal. So No chemical is foolproof, but a drug will only be put on the market where it's safe for the majority of the people.
Dr. Motsoaledi, what about the concerns that this might just be another form of population control? We've heard many people alluding to that. Is this true?
Well, if you look at the prevalence or even how quickly it spreads, I don't think anybody is spared, right? If you're able to isolate and say, we live in South Africa and say it attacks a certain population grouping, maybe there might be credence. But this is a problem all over the world. In Asia, they're dealing with the problem. In Europe, in the Americas. So it doesn't lend itself to be credible to start thinking that there are people who could put their own lives at risk to control population. So that doesn't make sense at all.
So we're clarifying much of those theories and those concerns as well, as you say. If you've just joined us, we are in conversation with Dr. Katlego Motsoaledi. He is the managing director of the Board of Healthcare Funders, helping us decipher what's real, what's not real, what's true information and accurate information versus being uninformed and disinformed, uninformed on disinformation about the vaccine rollout and some of the concerns that have been raised by many South Africans. I think what's also important for us to address, Dr. Motsoaledi, is that what we have seen is that over the vaccine rollout and the process, there's been a lot of concerns about, again, not necessarily anti-vaxxers, but people who might be vaccine hesitant and who've actually said, hold on, I'll wait a couple more months, I'll wait a while, maybe even find a placebo to have the same effects. How do we address some of those concerns for South Africans who might still seek and need further understanding to appeal to their hesitance?
Yeah, so the right sort of information, firstly, is that vaccines work. There is data coming that definitely they prevent many deaths. Secondly, they prevent hospitalization, which means that we relieve a lot of pressure from our healthcare institutions so that we don't end up with tired practitioners and they would be unable to deal with the other important elements. The other thing is that our economies have come to a standstill as a result of the pandemic. And we need to return to a normal life. I mean, if you had told somebody 2 years ago that we'd be walking around with masks, not shaking hands, you know, keeping distance from people and spending months without seeing your relatives, the person would have laughed it off. So we do have to find a way of returning to normal life. And the vaccines are one of the elements over and above the so-called non-pharmaceutical processes that we embarked on a while ago. And I think we should also not be blind to the role of vaccines even before COVID. A lot of us have been going for whatever our yearly flu jabs, and it has prevented lots of pneumonias as well, especially in the elderly and the young ones or those that have got weak immune systems. If you look at most South Africans, we have vaccinated for a whole host of disorders. Some of them are not in existence anymore. We have successfully eradicated polio and smallpox. I mean, young people don't even know what I'm talking about. TB is a scourge. If we did not have the BCG vaccine, it would have killed more people than it would have. So we should not be blind to the role of vaccines over and above what we are seeing now. But
yes,
I think the first message should be vaccines actually do work. And some of the concerns that people have that I get a jab, but I can still fall ill. Of course, it does not limit or eliminate the possibility of getting infected. But what we've seen is that people who are infected have got as much as a tenfold reduction in the possibility of severe illness. And what we've seen elsewhere as well is that most people who end up in hospital and die now, and some figures were around 99%, are people who are not vaccinated. So there is proof emerging that the vaccines that are currently on the market or in rotation are actually working.
They're working, and I guess what concerns many more South Africans as well in terms of the clarity of information that we want is not only that the virus has now mutated to yet another variant, but we're also hearing that there might be further booster vaccines that need to be submitted. The questions about which vaccine might be stronger against either the Delta variant or the new Mu variant, if I'm not mistaken. It's very uncertain times, right? And I guess there's a lot of concern and anxiety that, goodness, how long are we going to follow through with this process for, given that with other illnesses that you've alluded to, it's been a once-off, we get sorted and life does move on. But COVID is very different.
No, definitely. I mean, viruses are tricky. I mentioned flu. We get a flu season every year. When the flu vaccines were introduced, we got used to the idea that every year you'll have to go for your jab if you fall under those three categories that I mentioned. So it is new. There's a lot of uncertainty, and we're learning every day. And with the new variants as well, what we are learning as well is that vaccines are actually effective. There's a new variant that has come up now. I think first spotted in KZN, the C12, I think it's called. And they're already saying that it looks like the vaccines that we have are effective against it. And because they have looked at it and said there aren't enough variations between this new variant and the other ones that we have. And the question that you ask around which vaccine is better. I mean, a few weeks ago, I attended a talk and I was told that the best vaccine is the one in your arm. We need to trust the science and vaccinate. So you will not be protected if you are not vaccinated or still hesitant.
Makes sense. Very important insight that you shared. And I guess, the best vaccine is the one in your arm. We really need to trust the science. And this is one of the ways of really generating herd immunity to make sure that we do get better as a nation to a greater sense of normality and getting this pandemic under control. Dr. Muthudi, thank you so much for your time this evening. So we really appreciate it.
It's a pleasure.
Fantastic. That's Dr. Katleho Muthudi. He is the Managing Director at the Board of Healthcare Funders, helping us addressing some of the key questions that have been raised by many South Africans who might be hesitant to receive their vaccination, as to some of the outlines that do exist, and clarity as to where you can find more information. I guess I don't need to tell you that there are multiple websites, but of course, credible institutions, and such as the Board of Healthcare Funders, that do offer some clarity on some of the questions that many South Africans have. So do yourself a favor and read up. Make sure that you're empowered with knowledge that is from credible institutions to make sure that you are able to take a clear decision and actively participate in being vaccinated.
Kaya Biz with Guguletu Mfupi.
Monday to Thursday, 6 to 8 p.m. on Kaya 959.